This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on resumption of India-UK free trade agreement negotiations. The participants are Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
To discuss about the resumption of talks between India and the United Kingdom on the free trade agreement, I'm joined by our expert, Shri Sharad Kohli. 14 round of talks have already taken place. It started from January 13, 2022 till date, and it's hoped that the resumption of talks will this time bear something meaningful. There have already been some headwind in terms of tariffs and the visa processing for businesses so that it's more easily facilitated, and it all leads to greater commerce and industry between the two great nations. What's your take, Sharad, on the free trade agreement into its 14th round right now?
We need to understand, and a lot of people, they feel that probably the trade is going to become free of tariffs. So free trade agreement is where the two countries, they enter into mutually beneficial, mutually bilateral, or shall I say, mutually openings as far as the trade is concerned, which are provided after the agreement. So it doesn't really mean that everything which is imported and exported becomes free for both the countries. And, you know, to put it in the perspective, I would say that the total trade between the two countries right now, because we measure it on international parameters, it's about $52 billion odd dollars. And the good thing from the Indian perspective is that India has a trade surplus, which means we count it in billion pounds. It's about between 41 and 43 billion pounds, where India is exporting about 24 odd billion pounds, and the remaining is the imports from the United Kingdom. So whenever there is a situation of, from a UK's perspective, and they see a trade deficit, so obviously there is an attempt made now internationally to fill up that gap and make sure that we are on level playing field. We should be exporting as much we are importing. And after what is happening around the bilateral trade scenario in the US, I think a lot of countries have started thinking on similar terms. When President Trump, when he came, he said, I'm going to now impose reciprocal tariffs across the world. So I think the countries are moving in the direction where they want a level playing field. I think same goes for India. Well, every country has got a right to protect its own industries locally, which is why tariffs are levied accordingly, the schedule of tariffs. And we should not forget that UK has a special kind of a scheme for developing countries, and India is a developing country. I call it as an emerging economy now. It's called the DCTS, the Developing Countries Trade Scheme, and India falls in that. So if there is a bit of a schedule of tariffs between the two countries, it's all right, because as far as the UK is concerned, they are fine, because there are certain items where we get more tax. There are certain items where we impose more taxes. So it's both ways. But if you look at the tariff, the basic aim of the FTA, it's got multiple objectives. It's not just tariff reduction. Tariff reduction is one of them. You know, providing market access to services where service providers from one country are given fair opportunities in the other country. When it comes to mobility and visa, a lot of people don't know that the visa regime where Indian professionals can go and work there, Indian immigrants can go and get a work visa or probably a permanent citizenship in certain cases. The mobility vis-a-vis the businesses on both sides is also part of an FTA. And of course, both sides, because there is a major amount of investment from India to the UK and vice versa. So to keep those investments protected is also one of the objectives of FTAs. And between Mr. Jonathan Reynolds and Mr. Piyush Goyal, our Honorable Minister of Commerce, discussions are on, but there are challenges which are discussed during these meetings. Challenges could be when Indians go and work in the UK, they should be given an equal social security protection. There should be smooth visa provisions, as I said. But then also, we should not forget, UK sometimes imposes carbon border tax called the CBT on certain items. So obviously, India wants some of its imports which are related to carbon, they should be exempted or they should be given some kind of relief with regard to the carbon border tax. So to put it in the right perspective, that FTA has got a very wide connotation, and because of the general elections which happened in both the countries for that matter, incidentally it happened in both the countries, the FTA talks which have been going on for a while were sort of put in abeyance for some time. And now since there are new governments in both the places, they both come together with open mind, and I have no doubt that this is going to be very productive and we will see more flourish happening in the India-UK bilateral trade.
So put this topic in greater perspective, I would like to add that the United Kingdom is no longer part of the European Union because of the Brexit policy that it has implemented. So you feel that perhaps India has greater negotiating power now with the United Kingdom under the negotiations for the free trade agreement?
Yes, as you rightly mentioned, it's no more part of the EU. I think UK now knows that it probably has to stand on its own. The United Kingdom is now looking at newer relationships across the border. And UK also knows that India has crossed as far as the GDP is concerned. We know UK's GDP, both in terms of growth rate, UK is barely growing a little below 1%, I would say, in terms of GDP. The total GDP size is about between $2.8 and $3 trillion, where India is getting closer to $4 trillion now. So India had overtaken, if you all remember, United Kingdom long ago when India became the fifth largest economies. So UK knows that India is the largest market. I mean, the size of the Indian middle class now, from my estimate, ever since 25 crore people moved up the multidimensional poverty index, which I feel they moved into the lower middle class. So India's middle class population is double the size of the US population now. So I think the market, as far as a country like UK is concerned, India is huge. And I think for any country, it's very lucrative. So it's very natural for any country to come forward and enter into these FTAs and liberalize things both ways so that there is smoother movement of goods here and there. Because any bilateral trade is divided into two portions. There is services and there is goods. So we are primarily focusing on goods for now, because after this Make in India initiative, the manufacturing getting the big push from India. So one of the largest items we are doing is refined oil. You know, there's a lot of refined oil moving. I mean, every time you walk into a UK store, you might find something made in India. So there's a lot of clothing going. There's medicines, there are pharmaceuticals, there's telecom products. There's a sound equipment which is moving from India to the UK. Then why forget the mechanical power generators, the non-ferrous metals? The list is very long. We've got metal ores, you've got industrial machinery also going, and of course, some beverages and tobacco as well. See, India's economy, more than 55% comprises of the services sector. So the services are not far behind. A lot of travel services, business services, transportation, intellectual property, telecom services. There's a lot happening as far as India is concerned. And if you look at the other side of the story, is as good. I mean, we are importing a lot of stuff. And one of the things, if you remember our Honorable Minister, Shri Piyush Goyal, which was a declaration made yesterday, which was about the imported whiskey, the bourbon whiskey coming from the United Kingdom, where on some of the items, we are imposing high levels of tariff for various reasons, because we need to keep ourselves protected on various fronts. So I'm sure after this meeting, you will see rationalization of the tariffs. And Indian government is committed to rationalizing the tariffs to match them with international levels, because India is an emerging economy. It is our goal to reach 5 trillion very quickly. We are very close to that. And our broader goal is to be a developed economy. So I'm sure the UK government knows about the policies of Indian government, and it is trying to make best of the opportunity that which is mutually beneficial.
Well, Cheryl, let's hear from the Honorable Union Minister for Commerce and Industry, Sri Piyush Goyal, about the discussions yesterday.
Both Jonathan and I have agreed to resume free trade agreement negotiations in a very, very cordial atmosphere and with great trust between the two governments, which was reflected in the meeting. We will be able to make rapid progress to meet the collective aspirations for trade, investment, and the mutual prosperity of the people of United Kingdom and India.
Let's also hear from Jonathan Reynolds, who's a UK Secretary of State for Business and Trade.
India is a vital partner for the UK. We are lucky to already have such a strong relationship with India, of course, underpinned by the living bridge between our countries, the 1.7 million people with Indian heritage who call the UK their home. Of course, what binds us together even further is our shared ambition through championing free and open trade and investment to drive jobs and growth across both of our countries.
Well, Sharad, we've heard both the parties announce the importance of the free trade agreement between the two great nations, and more importantly, also bring to light the 1.7 million Indians of common heritage in the UK, along with our colonial past as well. But ambitions is what Jonathan Reynolds spoke about. You mentioned about India being a $5 trillion economy, reaching it soon as well. Foreign direct investment from April 2000 to September 2024 has reached $35.3 billion. How do you see cross-border investments being addressed in these negotiations?
On the broader objectives of an FTA, investment protection is one of the major objectives. And you know, you do negotiate in any bilateral investment treaty to safeguard and to encourage. So it's got two objectives. One is to safeguard these investments. One is to encourage the investment, to provide a climate to the UK investors where they find an easy entry route, you know, laying the red carpet to come and manufacture in India, come and set up your businesses in India. And I think Prime Minister Modi is particularly looking at that. Wherever he travels, he would always advocate the fact that India has come, invest in India. India is the biggest market. You will not find a bigger market. And from what is happening in China, I think India has been a natural beneficiary of that. And I think the advantage which UK has with India is that there is a lot of English-speaking population in India, which is not the case in China. So that advantage today, UK is looking at India as a shoulder-to-shoulder partner and trying to enter into bilateral agreements on every front. I mean, there was a time when India needed UK more than UK needed India. Now it's the other. UK needs India more than India needs UK. I think the equations have changed. But I think as both the ministers and the officials have rightly pointed out that they've come with a very open mind. They have the objective is to make sure that there are newer avenues of bilateral trade happening. There are newer avenues of bilateral, I would say, investments happening both ways. And I think it is going to go a long way. And a look at the tariffs, because tariff has been the talk of the world around for some time now, ever since the Trump administration took over. Look at the tariffs. Once we export to the UK, they have a VAT of about 20%. If I leave out some of the things like children's clothing, where the VAT is about 5%, most of the items are taxed at 20%, and vice versa. When the UK goods arrive in India, we have something called IGST, which is Integrated Goods and Services Tax, which is about from 5 to 28%, depending on the category of goods. When you make a deep analysis of two-way trade happening, that is when goods land from India to the UK and goods land from UK to India, is there a skewed percentage? You know, the major question after what happened with President Trump, I think everybody is wondering that if we charge 10%, are they charging 15% or vice versa? You know, is there a difference? So I found on an average, we do not have much difference, because if we lever IGST, they also have a VAT of 20%. So we are on a pretty much level field, a little bit here and there. So I think these kind of bilateral talks, they eventually lead to leveling out. So India, as I said, has been sitting down with a very open mind to make sure that we match the kind of tariffs with the UK is levying on India. So it's going to be, I'm sure after this meeting, you will find a lot of realignment in the tariff policy, which India is already in the process, not just for US, but as we emerge today, our total exports are reaching about $800 billion. We are closer to getting to $1 trillion in the times to come. So if we have to hit $1 trillion in, let's say, next 1 year or 1.5 years, we will have to open up. And once we open up, this is where the FTAs matter, because one, with countries like the United Kingdom, we sit down together, we go item by item. So I'm very eagerly waiting for the outcome of this meeting, that what is the final list of items both ways. I'm sure it's going to be looking a lot more attractive. And I'm sure UK knows how important India is as far as its own economy is concerned.
Sharad, you're talking about indirect taxes like VAT, value-added tax, or IGST, customs duty, for instance, whether it's reduced or removed. What's the importance of the double taxation avoidance agreement, the DTAA? Is it on indirect taxes? Is it on direct taxes? And how important is a DTAA on any bilateral investment treaty that may come about, or the FTA?
The DTAA is Double Taxation Avoidance Agreement, and DTA is mostly on direct taxes. That is, if a person earns income in India and on a similar income, he's going to be taxed in the UK, then he gets a certain relief under the DTA, so you don't have to pay tax twice. So DTA is essentially for direct taxes. The taxes which I spoke of are indirect taxes. And as I said, there is IGST levied on the imports that we do. Every import that we do, which is cleared from the custom after the BCD, which is called the Basic Custom Duty, we have a social welfare surcharge, and we have the IGST, which is levied. Likewise, when the goods reach UK from our country, UK levies a VAT, which is about 20%. We levy our IGST ranges from 5% to 28%, depending on the item. We all know there are rates of 5, 12, 18, and 28. And there's, of course, a zero rate as well, which is not the case for imports, unless it's an exception. So DTA essentially applies to direct taxes. Indirect taxes are not covered under DTA. Indirect taxes, when once the goods land at the customs in both the countries, before they are cleared from the customs, after the BCD, you have to deposit, for example, if something coming into India, IGST has to be paid depending on the category of the item. So therefore, DTA does apply. Well, Indo-UK DTA has been very, very old. And a lot of people who've got bases at both the places, who've got incomes at both the places, they have been availing the benefit of the double tax avoidance agreement, Arjun.
Well, thank you so much, Sharad, for giving us your views on the negotiations of the India-UK Free Trade Agreement, which is now resumed. And one believes that with the good work of our Honorable Union Minister for Commerce and Industry, Piyush Goyal, and the efforts on the part of the United Kingdom and its representative, Jonathan Reynolds, the UK Secretary of State for Business and Trade, this will actually bear fruition. Thank you so much, Sharad, for making this simple and clear for the benefit of our viewers on Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on resumption of India-UK Free Trade Agreement negotiations. The participants were Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.